This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, kindle thou in our hearts within a flame of love to my neighbor, to my foe, to my friend, to my kindred all, to the brave, to the knave, to the thrall. O Son of the loveliest Mary, from the lowliest thing that liveth, to the name that is highest of all. Amen. Good morning. That prayer is a traditional Celtic evening prayer, and it certainly fits the theme of our gospel today. I need to play a little game with you this morning. See if you can complete the following. It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll... We'll move to our second round. Help, I need somebody, help. All right. Believe it or not, the 745 crowd was better than you. What the world needs now is... You redeemed yourself. There you go. Classics. We all know the classics. They just come off of our lips and we don't even really have to think about it. It's just there. Well, Jesus goes back to the classics today. They ask him this question and reverts back to classic scripture that they would have all known by heart. They had, we're told, 613 laws. Some places they say that they came up with those because there were 365 for the days of the year and 248 to make up the balance that represented all the parts of the body. And how they figure we got 248 parts of our body, I don't know. But 613 laws. And they argued and they debated what was the most important of these. And of course, it's virtually impossible to choose just one. But Jesus, as he has been doing with these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, he makes them look at the big picture. And he says the words that they would have recited by heart every day in something known as Hear, O Israel, in Hebrew, Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. They all knew that. They knew it by heart. It's in Deuteronomy. They also knew the second part. They also knew, love your neighbor as yourself. It's in Leviticus. They knew these things. The uniqueness of what Jesus does here is he links them together in such a way that you cannot do one without the other. You have to have both. A second is like it, he says. And in the words he used there in the original language, they are linked together. You can't do one without the other. So he goes back to the classics and he tells us it's all about love. It's all about love. Loving God and loving neighbor. Now, did you ever think that why did God put us here? You know, if God loved us so much, why didn't he just wait till we're born and take us straight to heaven and be with him forever? But he chose to have us here for a reason. And above all, that reason is love. And it's a great compliment that God has paid to every one of us because God is enabling us not only to be loved by Him, but to love Him back, but also to share in the mission that God has, that we can really be like God in loving like God loves, as we love our neighbor. That's an incredible compliment that God, an opportunity that God gives to each one of us. So love becomes that which really defines us as a people. You know that line in there, see how these Christians love one another? Love becomes our identity of who we are. You know, you can go to one of those ATM machines and, you know, you got to prove your identity. You can put that card in there, but unless you know your bank account number and your PIN number, you're not going to get anything out of that machine. But you plug in your identity and the money will come out, assuming you have some money in the bank. Well, we prove our identity as Christians by love. So it's pretty important. Now, we've looked at this particular gospel and the different versions that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have it. We've looked at it when we had our 40 Days of Love program that we did here a couple years ago. And it's almost to the point where, well, what else could I say about this that we haven't heard already? Well, maybe it's just important we get back to what Jesus does, the classics, the basics. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I think it has a lot to do with the questions we choose to ask. Because the questions we ask have a lot to define what our outlook is on our spiritual journey. Are we open to what God might have in store for us? Or are we just trying to justify the way we are? That's what's going on in all these readings we've been hearing these past weeks from the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. They are the religious leaders of the day. They like it the way it is. They don't like this new stuff that Jesus is talking about. And so they ask these questions to test him. They're trying to trip him up so they can justify the way we're approaching this is just the right way it should be. What they end up doing is they end up being rooted in a past that determines how they act in the present. What Jesus is calling them to and calling us to be rooted in a present that has this incredible unlimited possibilities for our future. And that's the challenge. The types of questions we are asking, is it with that as our viewpoint towards the future? Are we truly looking for truth, or are we looking to justify so we can stay the way we are? You know what the first question in the Bible is? Genesis 3. The devil approaches Adam and Eve and says, "Did he tell you you couldn't eat from that tree? Come on." The very first question is one that is trying to make us be like God. Trying to make us be God, and we're not. If we can start with God is in charge, God is the one, then it's going to be a lot easier to move from that into love of neighbor. Look at Jesus. He starts his ministry, he goes out into the desert, he spends time praying with God, but he doesn't stay there. He uses that as the springboard for going out into the world and sharing the love of God with all people. It's the same thing we are called to do and to be. But it has a lot to do with the type of questions we ask. You know, every time Jesus is asked a question or he asks a question, he's always sort of opening things up that life is not an either or, it becomes a both and. That as we look into our present, it is a call to move forward into the future. Look at the Good Samaritan. The question that is posed is, who's my neighbor? And Jesus ends up turning around and says, that's the wrong question. The right question is, who can I be neighbor to? He does it here as well, even at the end of the gospel with Peter. Peter, remember that sidewise glance of envy. What about him? What about this beloved disciple? And Jesus has to set Peter straight. That's the wrong question, Peter. It's about what you are going to do now. And so when we look at the questions we're asking of God and when we look into our lives, is it openness to a truth that might open us up to become something more? Because that's what God is calling us to be. One other point I want to make today. If we start with love of God, that is where we must end as well. The wisest spiritual advisor I ever had, Archibald Hart, he said, you answer to an audience of one. The challenge is, we have a lot of other people who are out there in the grandstand and a lot of other influences. It becomes important as we ask and answer the questions. What impact are those other people and influencing having on us in terms of how we respond to God? It is the audience of one to which we're responsible. It's the fourth Sunday, and we don't read the other readings on this day. That's a little more family child focused. But this incredible first reading that is in there this week is about the death of Moses. An incredible reading. But when that reading concludes, there is some things said in praise of Moses that maybe as we look to our future, maybe we should be looking to having people saying things about us as they did about him. Think of this as a vision for each one of us when we are gone. Never since has there arisen a prophet like you, whom the Lord knew face to face. You were unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent for you to perform, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that you performed in the sight of all people. What a great vision. It would certainly frame the questions that we ask. One of my favorite spiritual authors, and he's got great quotes all the time, Tony Campolo says this: what you commit yourself to be will change what you are and make you into a completely different person. Not the past, but the future conditions you. Because what you commit yourself to become determines what you are more than anything that ever happened to you yesterday or the day before. Therefore, I ask you a very simple question. What are your commitments? Where are you going? What are you going to be? You show me somebody who hasn't decided, and I'll show you somebody who has no identity, no personality, no direction. St. Paul had those right questions and answers. In the second reading today, he addresses the people of Thessalonica in the midst of a bunch of people called Judaizers who are upset with Paul because he's saying that maybe it's not just Jews who are called to follow Jesus. And so they try to discredit him, saying that he's in this for his own name, he's in this for greed, he's in this to make money, for profit. And Paul very directly in Thessalonians addresses this, and he comes back to this audience of one. He says, I do this only for God. If we're rooted in our present, but with a view to this incredible future that God has for us, it will continue to reframe the questions and the answers and the hope and the peace and the joy that we will have. This past week, we celebrated the feast of a great saint, Saint Ignatius, founded the Order of the Jesuits and a whole way of looking at spirituality. If we approach the way Jesus has us approaching today through a classical view, our prayer will be like Ignatius's. Take, Lord, as your right and receive as my gift all my freedom, my memory, my mind, and my will. Whatever I am and whatever I possess, you have given to me. I give it all back to you. Dispose of me and the powers you gave me according to your will. Give me only a love for you in the gift of your grace. Then I am rich enough and ask for nothing more. Amen.